shoot anything that moves.
The boy climbed down to take a position beside his father.
Move, people!
Jack raced to the work table, grabbed an armload of tools, and sprinted to the tank, tossing them inside. Doc shrugged off his backpack of supplies and started ferrying over fuel cans two at a time. Mildred grabbed the packs and hauled them into the tank, making room for the next load.
These things are full of something. Sure hope it is fuel.
Me too!
JB dragged over a massive toolbox.
What are hellhounds anyway? Muties?
Jack hefted a box full of oil cans.
Bioweps.
Escaped after Skydark, eh?
Guess.
Nasty buggers.
Christy wrapped a chain around the rear stanchion of the tank.
Any weak points beside the eyes and ears?
Sure. Can't swim.
Great.
Opening a bulky canvas bag, Jack saw it was full of engine belts and radiator hoses. Mighty useful. He slung it over his shoulder. JB helped Doc with more gas canisters. The Coldhearts had to have raided every fuel tank in the place to get this much gas. It was nearly 100 gallons.
Can't swim. Just great.
We're running out of room in here.
I'm on it.
Christy laid out the chain to the tow bar of a Jeep and looped it around. She then cinched the locking clamp tight. She stood back.
There. We can drag this along behind. Throw in anything you want.
As the others rushed to obey, something moved in the shadows, and Dean cut loose with his Browning high power, the bullets ricocheting off the steel support. Ryan pulled out his silenced 9mm blaster.
Chill! Stop wasting rounds on shadows! We're being stalked. These things are smart. Too bastard smart for my liking. Wait until you actually see something.
Okay, Dad.
Dean slammed a fresh clip into the blaster while studying the darkness underneath the Hummer. Over by the fuel pumps, a steel drum noisily toppled over. Nobody reacted. Then, a loud creak sounded from the rafters. Spinning in a gunfighter's crouch, Doc drew and fired his Lamah, a 44 Magnum slug blasting the overhead light into sparking rubbish. Darkness swallowed them, and immediately things began to move in the cluttered ring of military craft around them.
Shield your eyes!
Lights erupted all over the Leviathan, catching two of the Hellhounds standing brazenly in the open. Ryan and Dean both cut loose, but only succeeded in driving the beasts away. Ryan dropped the Stier's clip and slid in a fresh magazine.
Last load! Double time!
Wasting no time in recriminations, everybody climbed inside, dragging packs of supplies and goods. The thick door was pulled closed with a solid, reassuring clang, and Jack drove home the locking bolt.
Dark night! I hate leaving supplies!
JB collapsed into a seat. Ryan kept his good eye focused out an ob slit.
Once the dogs are dead, we can loot the place down to the nails in the walls. But first things first, we kill the hounds.
Anything moving?
Not yet.
Lights on or off?
Wearily, Ryan sat down, the cushioned seat feeling sinfully soft.
On for now. Let's catch our breath.
Christy dropped her backpack of supplies.
Take five.
The recessed ceiling lights were bright but not harsh, and Ryan found the inside of the tank surprisingly plush. The Coldhearts had to have liked their comfort. There was combat seating for eight in the back, with lockers lining the two walls. Next was a gunnery seat for the left and right Remington 50 calibers and ammo dumps, nicely full. In the middle was a field surgery unit that Mildred was already examining. Beyond that was a standardized gun rack with a locking bar holding a couple of long blasters in place. Next was a line of general storage lockers with a pile of tools and fuel cans from the garage. He was surprised at how much loot his people had been able to grab in the short period of time allotted. Near the front were more seats, these facing forward instead of inward, then the cockpit with driver's seat and gunner's chair. Ryan walked closer, pausing to note the water tank seemed to be almost full, and pleased that the ceiling was high enough he didn't have to bend or stoop. The dashboard was covered with electronic instruments, only half of which he could identify: radar, night scopes, infrared, and a powerful radio. In spite of the luxurious interior, Ryan reminded himself that this was no pleasure craft, but a combat vehicle, a troop carrier with blasters, nothing more.
Can we fuel from inside?
Yes, there's a feeder pipe over by the flamethrower.
The what?
But there's no lav.
Mildred loosened her sleeves and rolled them up.
Could get messy if we're in here for any length of time.
Christy took stock of their most recent acquisition.
No kitchen either. But at least we can eat these food packs without cooking them.
Moving to the front, Christy took the gunnery chair and examined the controls, tapping a gauge with a fingernail.
There are twice as many nuke batteries as needed, and fully charged.
We ever get some insulated wiring, we can connect the spare batteries to the door handle to dissuade invaders.
Dissuade?
Fry.
Ah.
Ryan studied the complex collection of gauges, indicators, and lights.
We also have three motors, but we only need two to run this behemoth.
A spare motor? There's a fine notion.
A thump sounded from outside. Ryan grabbed his blaster.
Company!
The friends jumped to the gun ports, but the dark shapes were already disappearing into the jumble of vehicles. Christy watched them go.
Odd they didn't hit the door or a window.
Maybe they weren't trying to get in.
They were doing something else.
Everybody check for damage.
Ryan looked out the front windshield.
Fine over here.
No damage.
Mildred struggled to see out the starboard blaster port.
Hell's bells! There's a tire missing!
What? They ate a tire?
One is gone, that's for sure. I see a bare rim on the port side.
Why would animals eat a tire?
Not animals. Bioweps.
Christy understood immediately.
Freaking things are going to try and ground us. Without tires, we can't leave. The belly won't clear the floor. We'll be trapped and eventually have to walk out or die of starvation.
Same as the cold hearts.
Fuck that.
Ryan returned to the driver's seat. There was no specialized key to start the engines, merely a push button. Setting the choke to the middle, and hoping that was correct, he hit the gas and revved the starter. The diesels rumbled mightily, making the whole vehicle vibrate with the barely confined power of the Detroit engines.
Atomic batteries to power, turbines to speed.
We're out of here.
Ryan twisted the steering wheel and worked the stick shift. With a crash, Leviathan plowed a path through the metal circle, windshields shattering and APCs shoved aside as they headed for the exit. As Leviathan started to rumble forward, two hellhounds darted out of nowhere. They hit the front windshield in unison, and the iron bars shuddered under the double impact. Black muzzles snapped less than a foot from Ryan's face, and he could actually see down their throats. Muscular tentacles wrapped about the protective gridwork, and their front paws clawed at the glass, scratching the resilient surface of the military composite. Blaster in hand, Christy started to roll down the side window when she spotted a barbed tail hovering low alongside the door.
Shit! They're waiting for us to try and get them!
Hold on!
Ryan slammed on the brakes. The supplies went hurtling forward as the tank screeched to a halt, throwing the dogs off the hood. Instantly, Ryan hit the gas, and the massive vehicle surged forward once more. A hellhound hit the spiked front bumper, its bleeding form stuck there, caterwauling in pain. The other fell out of sight, but Ryan felt the big vehicle bump over something that crunched. Dean watched from an obslit.
The others are backing off. Yep, they're gone.
Jack moved to the starboard 50 caliber machine gun.
Flanking us. What's belly height?
JB worked the bolt on the port Remington.
Good foot and a half.
Don't let them get underneath us.
Check.
Doc and Mildred rushed to the louvered rear door and shoved the muzzles of their hand blasters out the downward slats.
Hey, Dean!
Dean glanced at the woman.
Here, use this.
The youngster caught the shotgun thrown his way. It was a beauty, a pump-action 12-gauge. The stock was polished walnut, and the shoulder strap was lined with spare shells. Christy jerked a thumb.
It was in the gun rack. It'll do more damage than your Browning.
Nodding his thanks, the boy pumped the scatter gun and shoved the barrel out a slot. Ahead of them was a large hole in the redoubt wall, a curved opening almost exactly the size and shape of Leviathan. Ryan eased on the gas and slowed for a moment to correct their alignment. They had a clearance of only inches. He had to go in dead center or risk scraping off some of the external equipment. The Coldhearts had to have planned to remove the radar and missile pods before trying this stunt, but that option wasn't available to them now. The bastard hellhounds were much too loyal to their dead masters, and too freaking smart.
A camel through the eye of a needle.
More like 2 pounds of muck in a 1-pound bag. If it gets any tighter, we'll need to grease the walls.
Ryan slowed their speed, thinning their fuel mix. The diesels were sluggish and needed to warm. Smoothly engaging the transmission, Ryan backed a yard, then, as slowly as possible, entered the tunnel. Immediately something scraped noisily overhead, and everybody looked up, weapons in hand.
It's only the radio antenna.
Or the missile holders.
In the front gunner's chair, Christy tapped the instrument panel with a knuckle.
Missile pods are online and showing green. No damage.
Yet.
Luckily, the Cold Hearts labeled everything in plain English.
Yeah. Lucky.
With a hand on the gear shift,